Does some of the ancient Greek art actually point to incidents and characters in the book of Genesis? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Robert Bowie Johnson, Jr. He's a returning guest. He wrote a book, actually a few books on this subject, but most notably Genesis in Greek Art. And in fact, his website is genesisingreekart.com. And as I said before, I am not an ancient historian, an expert on Greek art, and therefore I don't know that I can assess this, but I can look at what he's saying, and it is amazing. It's as if there are some of the characters in Genesis to be found in some of the Greek art. A very radical supposition, but let's get right to it. Mr. Johnson, great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, it is surprising to see in ancient Greek art this motif that occurs more than once where you have a tree and there's fruit on the tree, apples, I believe, and there's a snake out of the tree, and then there's a woman standing by the tree contemplating taking from the apple. Now, clearly this is Adam and Eve, right?
Well, yes. The Greeks put their first couple, whom they called Zeus and Hera, into this ancient garden. And they called this, and they depicted this garden on a great many vase paintings with the serpent entwined apple tree. And they also depicted it sculpted on the east pediment of the Parthenon with this serpent. Now, that's a big deal. So they knew what that was. They knew all about that. And the only difference between what we believe, the only difference, the big difference between what we believe and what they believe the serpent enlightened mankind rather than deluded mankind. And what their religious art celebrates is the triumph, pushing Noah and his God out of the picture, exalting mankind as the measure of all things, celebrating the triumph of the way of Cain after the flood, and a return to the serpent's enlightenment.
Isn't that interesting?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, the Bible does not say that it was an apple tree or that it was a pomegranate tree. It doesn't say what kind of fruit was on that tree, and yet I guess we find in the Greek version it is apples. Is that right?
It's from the Greek tradition. We get the idea that we always say, well, Eve ate the apple, and they gave the apple to Adam.
Interesting.
But there's no basis for that in Genesis, as you say. It comes strictly from the Greek tradition. And this is, let's go back to Scripture. Always return to Scripture, because there we find this, the connection to truth. We find truth and connection to truth all the time. Now, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus said in praying to his Father, "Thy word is truth." And we read throughout the Bible, such as all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. So let's go to Revelation 2:13, where Jesus is speaking to one of the seven churches. And it's the church at Pergamum, which is a city about 50 kilometers south of the city of Troy, where the Trojan War took place. And he says, "I know where you are, where the throne of Satan is." Are you familiar with that scripture?
Yes, uh-huh. And is that a Greek city?
Well, what was there? I mean, there was no thing more, okay, here's the throne of Satan with a big plaque. What was there was the altar of Zeus. So therefore, Jesus himself is identifying Zeus as a representative of Satan. And so, since he's the chief god of the Greek religious system, it's telling us that the entire Greek religious system is satanic. And it is, because it's about exalting man over God. That's what it's all about. And again, if you look to Scripture, you go to the Areopagus, which is the Hill of Ares. In I think the King James calls it Mars Hill, but in the Greek it's the Areopagus, the Hill of Ares.
In Acts chapter 17.
Pardon?
Acts 17.
Mm-hmm. And there were two key sons that Adam and Eve had.
Cain and Abel.
Cain killed Abel. Cain and Seth. In the Greek system, Seth is Ares. And Ares, you don't hear much about him. You don't see temples to him. He's very rarely seen on vases. And he's just, oh, he's a god of war. No, he's the hated son of Zeus and Hera. Just like we're against Cain, that son, the Greeks were against Ares, the other son. But if you... So what the Greeks are talking about, what they're depicting, is let's go back to the altar of Zeus at Pergamum, the throne of Satan. There's a 120-meter depiction there, sculpted depiction, a frieze. And its theme is the triumph of the way of Cain over the Seth men, or the Yahweh-believing sons of Noah. And it's got just about every Greek god you can imagine on this thing, and they're killing and destroying the Yahweh-believing sons of Noah, the sons of Seth, the Seth men. They're killing them. And so you look in one of the corners, and you see this old man standing there who's been sculpted. But beneath it, it has a plaque giving his name. Now, this thing's been reassembled. The throne of Satan has been reassembled in Berlin. It was right at the time Hitler took power. The Pergamum Museum opened. They took the material from Turkey to Berlin. So it's there, and much of it survives. And in the corner, there's an old man. And below it, it's got the name Nereus. Now, Nereus in Greek means the wet one. And Nereus is the Greek Noah. And he's the only one in this whole long scene that is not actively engaged in the conflict or dead. He's put there by the artists, by the sculptors, to witness the destruction of the line of Seth in the post-flood world. The change in authority from Noah's authority to the authority of mankind, the authority of Satan. Oh, we were talking about the Areopagus, the Hill of Ares. Well, that's where there was a little monument to the unknown god that the Greeks had pretty much like, well, we don't know what this is about. We don't really get this. And Paul came there and said, well, I can tell you who he is. But yeah. The Greeks, if you look...
Brilliant.
If you looked from the Hill of Ares, which is the Hill of Seth, and you looked to the precinct of the Way of Cain, which is the huge Acropolis, the high place of the city in ancient Athens, on top there is a temple, not to Noah, certainly, not to any prophet of God, certainly, but to Athena, to a woman, a great, and who was she? Who is she? She's a person, too, just like Zeus and Hera are representations of the serpent-friendly Adam and Eve. So this woman up there, was she, even if you read Plato, Socrates says in this one piece by, Plato called Euthydemus, he says that Zeus, Apollo, and Athena are his lords and his ancestors. So Athena is an ancestor. Athena is a woman, an ancestor. And she looks just like a woman, just like most of the other key, or all the other key gods all look like people because they are people. When you get rid of God, who do you have left to exalt? But nature, ancestors, and yourself. That's basically it.
Okay, so wait, let's take a minute then.
Back to what the serpent said, basically,
yeah, go ahead.
What the serpent said boils down to, well, you don't have to listen to God. Man is the measure of all things. Just believe in yourself. You can take this fruit. It's great. You'll love it and forget God. And that's exactly what the Greek system depicts. But getting back to the woman on top of the Acropolis, Athena, she is actually a glorification of Nama. And most people have never heard of Nama. She is the last person mentioned in the line of Cain in Genesis. Genesis 4:22 says, and the sister of Tubal Cain is Nama. And she, and there's evidence for this, and I show it in my book, there's evidence for this in Greek art, that she married Ham. Ham took her, and married her, and she came through the flood as Ham's wife. After the flood, she dissed him, we'd say today. And she inspired the post-flood rebellion against Noah and his God-fearing offspring.
Hmm.
That's why there was a 40-foot-tall golden ivory image of her inside her temple, the Parthenon, in ancient Athens. That's why she's glorified. And the message that of her statue is so simple. And you can see it today. They've done a recreation in Nashville in the imitation Parthenon. I've been there. It's unbelievable. We go look at this ancient statue, and you wonder why it's been reconstructed in the heart of America. And you look at it, and there she is, you know, her helmet on. She's got her shield next to her, and inside the shield there's a huge serpent rising up. And, of course, it says in Genesis the serpent's not supposed to rise up, but to crawl on the ground. So it's rising up. She's welcoming the serpent. And in her right hand, she's holding Nike, or victory. So this, it's a simple message. This is the woman whose friendship with the serpent has led to humanity's victory over Noah and God-fearing offspring.
Huh.
So I know that's an awful lot to take.
Yeah, in, no. Okay. Well, let's unpack a little bit of this. First of all, where does Diane fit into this? I had thought the statue in Nashville was of Diane, or no?
No, it's Athena.
It's Athena, okay. So Athena then is Ham's wife, is what you're saying. Zeus and Hera are Adam and Eve. Who is Cain in the ancient Greek, using your thesis? Pardon me?
Hephaestus. Just as Adam and Eve had Seth and Cain, so Zeus and Hera had Ares and Hephaestus.
Okay. Ares being
he's
Seth.
He's the so-called god of the forge, you know, in the ancient world. The Romans called him Vulcan. But he's the eldest son of Zeus and Hera, matching Cain, the eldest son of Adam and Eve.
So wait. So Vulcan is the Roman counterpart to the biblical Cain,
yes.
Essentially? Isn't that interesting? Yes. Wow. Okay, how about Nimrod? Where does he fit in Greek mythology?
Okay, well, Nimrod
is Heracles?
He's glorified as Heracles in the ancient Greek world. And what does it say about him in Genesis? It said he was the first to wax mighty in the earth, about Nimrod.
Yeah.
Well, Heracles is a title, really. His real name in Greek is Alcaeus, which means mighty one.
Hmm.
And you see him depicted, he's depicted probably more than anyone else. The two people depicted the most in ancient Greek religious art are Athena, who is Nama, the woman who came through the flood as Ham's wife and instigated the post-flood rebellion, and her grandson, Heracles, who is Nimrod, because they are the ones primarily responsible for this triumph.
Of the ungodly over the godly. By the way, is the name Heracles, does that eventually morph into Hercules or no?
Yes, that's the Roman name.
Wow.
And, you know, the farther you get away, if you try to study this in through the Romans, everything degenerates over time. And you need to go back to the Greek and really look at it. But Heracles, I have found, and I talk about this in my book, is kind of a, it's a miss. Over the centuries, I think his name originally was Heracles. Cles means glory, the end of the name. And what did Nimrod do? Nimrod helped build Babylon, and then it went on to say
Babel,
the beginning
the
of
Babel.
His kingdom was Erech, and it names a couple other cities there in Genesis. So I think what they originally called him was Heracles, the glory of the city of Erech.
Mm.
Which would identify him exactly with who he was.
Well, listen, at this point, we're basically out of time, but I would refer people to your website and to your books. Again, Genesis in Greek Art would be the main book, genesisingreekart.com. Robert Bowie Johnson has been our guest. This is fascinating stuff, Robert. We'll have you on again sometime. I appreciate this. God bless you,
well,
sir.
I appreciate the opportunity. God bless you and all your listeners.
All right. Thank you now. Bye-bye.